From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to Current Sports on this July 1st. It is July 1st already. Can you believe that? It's July already. Pretty soon it's going to be August, and then, hey, the pigskin is going to be flying through the air. Time flies. Time flies, I tell you. But we have a great show in store for you today. I'm excited about it. Hope you are, too. On today's show, I'll be chatting with David Schumann, who runs the largest high school football and recruiting showcase in the country. I kid you not. That should be an interesting convo. We will also chat about the Rajai Davis walk-off win, Maryland and Rutgers joining the Big Ten, NBA and NHL free agency, and yes, we got a special Top 5 Tuesday for you. Tune in, folks, because it's going to be a good one.
I'm Matthew Luckey, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Tuesday, July 1st. The Moneyball Pro-Am opens its 11th season today in Lansing. The league's six teams include 12 current Michigan State players. Included are the Spartans' four incoming freshmen, Lou Rawls Nairn, Javon Bess, Marvin Clark, and Kenny Goins, and its two transfers, Aaron Harris and Lansing native Bryn Forbes. Four former Spartans are also scheduled to participate: Draymond Green, Travis Walton, Kelvin Torbert, and Thomas Kelly. 12 current Western Michigan players, 8 Oakland players, and 4 Central Michigan players are also included in the event. And the six-team league will play 3 games every Tuesday and Thursday at 6:30, 7:30, and 8:30 until August 7th at Aim High Sports on Centerline Drive in Diamonddale. Admission is free. The University of Maryland and Rutgers University became official members of the Big Ten Conference today, increasing the Big Ten's membership to 14 institutions. The conference now boasts more than 520,000 total students and 5.7 million living alumni. The conference's broad-based athletic programs will feature almost 9,500 student athletes and more than 11,000 participation opportunities on 350 teams in 42 different sports, including 28 official Big Ten sports. In Tigers news, on the day the franchise honored the 30th anniversary of the 1984 World Series championship team,
driven in the air toward left field. That ball is deep. That ball is way back.
Rajai Davis hit his third career Grand Slam with one out in the ninth, giving the Tigers a dramatic 5-4 victory over the Oakland A's. It was Detroit's first game-ending Grand Slam in almost a decade. Carlos Pena hit one against Arizona on June 27, 2004. Coincidentally, that was the weekend the Tigers honored the 84 team's 20th anniversary. Even weirder, the one before Pena's was also 10 years prior, as Lou Whitaker, a member of the 84 champs, hit one against Cleveland on June 21st, 1994. Game 2 of the 3-game set takes place at Comerica Park tonight at 7:08 p.m., with Rick Porcello and Brad Mills set to take the mound. Free agency has officially begun in the NHL and NBA. Marquee unrestricted free agents in the NBA include the Miami Heat's Big Three, Carmelo Anthony, and Lance Stephenson. The NHL side, the free agent class includes Paul Stastny, Jarome McGinley, Thomas Vanek, and Brian Gionta. Locally, Pistons big man Greg Monroe is a restricted free agent, while Red Wings forward Daniel Alfredson is an unrestricted free agent. Speaking of free agents, the Detroit Pistons are once again parting ways with 2004 Finals MVP Chauncey Billups announcing they will not pick up his team option for next season. The 37-year-old Billups becomes a free agent and can sign with anyone. He may also choose to retire from the NBA, possibly following other recent retirees into coaching or a front office position. And in the World Cup, another day of World Cup drama featured close wins from tournament heavyweights France and Germany. France scored two goals after the 79-minute mark to beat Nigeria 2-0. Germany struggled with Algeria for most of the afternoon, finally breaking a scoreless tie 90 seconds into extra time. Both teams added late goals for a 2-1 final. The U.S. men's national team plays Belgium today at 4 p.m., following Argentina and Switzerland, who are currently playing as we speak. A report suggests that the NFL will ban non-standard face masks for the 2014 season. The reasoning behind the ban is that the masks do not meet the NFL safety requirements and do not pass safety and certification tests. Customized masks last year were worn by Arizona Cardinals defensive tackle Darnell Dockett and New York Giants defensive end Justin Tuck. The NCAA has officially reopened its academic investigation on the University of North Carolina. Academic incidents stem back to professors helping athletes pass classes with little to no athletic supervision, and it was recently brought back up in an interview with former North Carolina basketball player Rashad McCants. The football team was disciplined with a postseason ban and scholarship losses in 2012 after benefits and academic fraud under head coach Butch Davis. No further comments or action have been made by the NCAA. And finally, the boxing world has a lot to look forward to with Floyd Mayweather. After one of the most contested Mayweather bouts in over the last 5 years, a rematch will take place between heavyweights Marcos Maidana and Money Mayweather. The fight will take place on September 13th. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners for Tuesday, July 1st. We'll send it back to Al to start the show.
All right, thanks a lot, Matt. Again, those were your quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are now open. As custom here on the show, we'll be taking your phone calls throughout this entire hour. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on anything, yes, anything, folks, if it's on your mind, we'll talk about it today. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And how about that Rajai Davis home run, walk-off home run win last night? I could not believe what my eyes were seeing as that moment happened. Bases loaded, bottom of the ninth. I'm thinking the game is over, one out, and Davis just clobbers one to left field. You know, it was a pretty cool shot yesterday, you know, right when Rajai Davis hit that homer. It was a shot. It was just complete pandemonium after that moment happened. And so much so, there was a cool shot of a little kid actually plugging his ears because of how loud Comerica Park was last night after that homer. Man, oh man, you gotta love the walk-off homer. It is one of the most exciting moments in sports. I mean, just watching what took place last night. I mean, you're thinking that, you know, the Tigers are done here. They'll move on to game two. Maybe they can rebound and even the series against the Oakland A's. Then all of a sudden, Rajai Davis just says, game over. Bye-bye. Unbelievable stuff. I lost my mind watching that moment last night. So much so that I decided to, you know, we of course are going to talk about it here on the show. But as custom here on the show, we have a special segment on each and every Tuesday here on Current Sports called Top 5 Tuesday. And that's where we give you a top 5 list on something sports-centered. And today, on today's show, in light of that home run, walk-off homer from Davis to propel the Tigers to that victory over the Oakland A's, we decided today to really stay with the whole subject of, you know, how games end. So much so, you know, we decided to, for this Top 5 Tuesday, to list the top 5 ways to win a game. What are our thoughts on it, our opinions? What are the top 5 ways to win a game? Is it a buzzer beater? You know, is it a Hail Mary during a football game? Is it Matt's favorite top way to, win a game with a penalty shootout? I mean, what exactly is it? What exactly is it, folks? And we're going to give you our top 5 list on the top 5 ways to win a game. Looking forward to that. And there's so much. What a busy day in sports. I mean, this has to be one of the busiest July 1st dates I've ever scene in my life. I mean, you got the World Cup going on. You got USA and Belgium. They will be playing at 4 p.m. today to move on from, you know, to keep their World Cup dreams alive. It's now in the single elimination round. And it gets really exciting now in the World Cup, folks. If you didn't think, you know, the qualifying rounds were as exciting enough, I mean, it gets really, really intriguing now. Again, the USA, they play Belgium at 4 p.m. And, of course, you got the Tigers going on, you know, with a great series against the Oakland A's. You got Maryland and Rutgers joining the Big Ten. How about that? It's official. Today, it's official, folks. Maryland and Rutgers joining the Big Ten today. You also have NBA and NHL free agency opening up today. I mean, it's just a ridiculously busy, busy day in sports. So much to talk about, so little time. Again, we are encouraging all of you to call in 517-355-9527. We're encouraging all of you to call in and give your thoughts on any of it. You know, I thought, you know, I always share, a funny story of the day, if you will. And this one really caught my eye because, you know, I'm always reading these blogs in different forms in the world of sports. And one that really caught my eye about, you know, a few hours before I took the air today when I was at work, happened to be another Johnny Manziel. Yes, Johnny football story and his party. Really interesting stuff. Now, I kid you not, Johnny football, Floyd Mayweather Jr., and Justin Bieber, amongst other celebrities, they actually had a pretty, pretty banging house party yesterday, or I believe the day before yesterday. Crazy stuff. You know, and I kid you not, this was a house party. It was at Justin Bieber's house. Again, Tyrese is an actor / R&B artist. Tyga is a rapper. Chantel Jeffries. I mean, all these celebrities were at Justin Bieber's house partying, and amongst them happened to be, yes, Johnny Football. And I go on these forums, and again, Johnny Football is being bashed. He should not be partying. He should be focusing on his career, focusing on becoming a better quarterback if he wants to compete with that job with Brian Hoyer, so on and so forth. The constant Johnny Football haters out there definitely came out for this one. But yeah, the Beverly Hills Cops, they responded to a noise complaint at the condo complex at Justin Bieber's home, and the star-studded party turned down the music, but police had to return later that evening to quiet a screaming gaggle of girls outside of Bieber's condo. And yes, Johnny Football was amongst those in the whole ruckus of that whole party. Interesting stuff. Let Bieber and Tyga and Tyrese and even Johnny Football, let them do their thing, folks. I mean, these are guys in the public eye. Johnny Football, he's a young guy, he's a nice-looking guy, and, you know, he wants to party. You know, he's a known figure. Let him party a little bit. Now, if that starts to affect what he does on the field, then we'll come back here on Current Sports and have that discussion. But right now, the man hasn't played one NFL game. Right now, I think he's got things under control because I haven't seen him play. That's the only reason I'm saying that right now. But just to bash the guy before he's played a game, come on, people. Come on. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, again, we have a fantastic show, folks. In just a moment, I'm pretty excited about this interview. And, you know, our local recruiting just fanatic here on Current Sports, Alex Sharg, he's pretty excited, too, when I told him who we have on today. And he's pretty excited because, again, he loves recruiting. And today we invite David Schumann, who is the this guy runs the biggest, again, the biggest football recruiting showcase in the country, not in the state, not in the region, but in the country. That is actually located in Ohio. So I look forward to definitely picking David's brain about the recruiting process, and he'll talk about a camp that just took place entitled the Ultimate 100 Camp. Now, of course, it's an invitation only camp where top performers from the underclassmen combines are invited to compete against other top regional athletes. Now, it was created back in 2006 as a reward for the top athletes at the underclassmen combines. The Ultimate 100 Camp allows top regional performers from all across the country. And I actually looked at the grid and the Excel sheet of all of the athletes who attended. It's from it's from seventh graders all the way up to 12th graders, and there were multiple from the state of Michigan. There were many from Ohio, just everywhere across the country, and throughout this weekend for this camp. It was unbelievable, and just reading the names and looking at the history of this camp, it is huge. But again, it allows these top regional performers from all across the country the opportunity to showcase their talents and skills against other top high school football players while being coached by a great veteran coaching staff that includes former collegiate stars and former NFL players. And, again, it's a really, really cool camp that David puts on. So many recruiters, come out to this camp to research the local high school talent, and it's really remarkable, a really remarkable thing. So we'll be chatting with David later on in the show. And I tell you what, folks, it's special. But for me, we talk about the R word, I call it recruiting. Recruiting is one of mine. I've said this multiple times on the show. It's not my favorite subject just because you never know what in the world these young kids are thinking. You never know. I mean, they could change their mind in the drop of a dime. And you never know really what factors and what attributes or assets to a school really become that end-all, be-all decision as to why they choose to take their talents to a certain university to play college ball. So it's an interesting topic, and I want to chat with David about that. It's going to be a really interesting interview, so you don't want to miss that. Want to hit the break. When we come back, we'll have that chat with David and so much more. Don't touch that dial. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. Hope you all are having a lovely Tuesday afternoon. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Just to remind you all, because I've been getting a few emails here and there and a few text messages here and there, there is no Current Sports TV this week, but we will be back at it next week, folks. Next week, I got a few guests in mind. We're trying to set in stone a few areas here. Hopefully, right now, David Thomas, who, if that name rings a bell, David Thomas was a member of that 2000 MSU men's basketball team who went on to win the national title. He was a member of that team, along with, of course, Mateen Cleaves and Charlie Bell and so on and so forth. So David will hopefully be my guest next week. Again, you can catch each and every episode of Current Sports TV by simply visiting video.wkar.org. Video.wkar.org is where we've posted every single episode. I can't believe we've done, a time really, really just flies. I mean, we've done close to about 30 or so episodes now of Current Sports TV. That's really a remarkable, remarkable accomplishment. So, again, you can catch all those episodes by visiting video.wkar.org. But, hey, how about the news today, folks, about Maryland and Rutgers officially becoming Big Ten members? How about that? Became official. Now it is increased the Big Ten membership to 14 institutions. The Big Ten now boasts more than 520,000 total students, 5.7 million. Wow, that's a lot of people. Million living alumni. It's going to be really interesting, especially when it comes to the football season. I can't wait for college football. It's always an exciting time, because now if you look at these divisions, the 2014 football season will feature new division alignments. Maryland and Rutgers, joined by Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State in the East Division. Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern, Purdue, and Wisconsin will play in the West Division. So, you know, you have these interesting division alignments now with Maryland and Rutgers joining that East Division, and it's really going to be interesting to see how those two hold their own in the Big Ten. So exciting stuff. Again, we will chat about Maryland and Rutgers being officially a part of the Big Ten. And for me, you know, when I look at this move, just got to give you a preview as to my thoughts on it. Folks, this move was all about the Benjamins. That's what it comes down to. All about the moolah, increased presence on the East Coast, TV contracts. Yeah, a political move and very smart move, I must say, by the Big Ten. All right, folks. Well, let's get to our guest for today's show. Again, we kind of gave you a great preview. Founder of the Schumann's National Underclassmen Combines and head of the nation's Midwestern Region Ultimate 100 Camp in Fairfield, Ohio. It's my pleasure to welcome for the first time on Current Sports, David Schumann. David, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing?
Oh, doing very well. Thanks so much for joining me on today's show. Now, David, you know, I kind of gave a spiel before our first break on how, you know, you really have one incredible football camp going on here in Ohio. And you are the founder and president of Schumann Enterprises, a national high school football camp series. You run the largest high school football combine and recruiting showcase in the country. It's pretty remarkable, you know, just reading up on this whole thing. How have you been able to build this recruiting powerhouse in this country?
Ooh, that's a long-winded process. Hard to explain all in one day, but
right.
1 minute. But we really worked hard to establish in 2005, run camps that athletes wanted to go to, worked hard to get the information in college coaches' hands. And that really was the main process, evaluate the athletes, get the information in the college coaches' hands, and get those athletes' exposure and looked at. And we were really the kind of first to do it on a national scale, and I've continued to expand that. And now we have 120 events around the country and various different types of events, like the one you're talking about.
With the Ultimate 100, I mean, what makes this one different from the others that you throw?
It's an invite camp. Athletes are invited from their previous performances at either some of our camps, or they could get nominated from a coach.
Gotcha. Now, this past weekend, it took place. Are there any players that really stood out over the weekend that were just head above heels and turned a lot of heads?
Yeah, we had some fantastic athletes. Some guys that really made a huge difference. Our overall MVP at the 10th grade level was actually a guy that was a class of 2017, but he played up a level. Kid from St. Xavier, which has a powerful tradition football standpoint. Mm-hmm. A kid by the name of Matt Bockhurst. He's an offensive lineman, 6'4", 280 pounds. He's a guy that can play several different places on the offensive line. He's a top-notch lineman. He's a guy that's going to be a big-time Division I prospect on the offensive line. We had a receiver, 11th grader, from Merrillville, Indiana, Jonathan Robinson, ran a 4.46 40-yard dash.
Wow.
Great route runner, yeah, 5'11", 170 pounds. He had an exceptional day. And our 11th grade overall MVP was a kid from New Albany, Ohio, Jalen Ward, athlete, 5'9", 170, fantastic corner, was great in our 7-on-7 tournament. And then we had some great underclassmen, freshmen, this past weekend as well. We had a kid by the name of Jalen Gill from Westerville South. This kid's going to be a big-time Division I prospect at 33-inch vertical, 4'5", 40. Was dominant playing wide receiver, playing cornerback, playing some running back. Had great hands and speed. So, I mean, those are some of the guys. And there was quite a few guys, but those are three guys that really stood out over the course of the weekend.
So much talent in one room, David. I got to ask, you know, when you talk about all of that talent, about how many scouts from different colleges and universities come out to watch these incredible young players?
Well, the athletes that come to the Ultimate 100 camps, we don't actually have colleges that come to it, but we have recruiting services that do the evaluations, and then we provide the information to the college coaches, video information, such.
Right.
So, and the evaluations. So, I mean, they get in the hands of, you know, over 800 coaches around the country, every Division I school, 1AA school, you know, multiple Division IIs and Division IIIs that get the actual information on those college kids. So it's quite an in-depth process. I mean, we had 1,100 kids that were signed Division IA that had come through our events this past year, 1,300 the year before. We had 38 guys that were drafted in the NFL that had come through our events at one time. So it's something that leads to athletes to do bigger and better things, and it all starts with, you know, with what they do in high school.
So, David, do you and your personnel, do you guys get calls from different, you know, coaches or recruiters from colleges about these kids who have performed at your camp?
Yes, we do. Not always about, you know, one particular individual, but it may be guys that they are evaluating. They want to know what we thought about them. That's the majority of the questions. They may ask if there are certain guys in certain positions that they may be looking to fill, guys that we've seen in those kind of positions in certain places around the country. And then as far as the top guys, so, you know, who was the top guy that you saw in this region or this or that region at a lot of our invite camps, and that information really kind of is valuable to them, kind of filtering out who the best players are.
David, with us being in Michigan, any personnel from Michigan or Michigan State contact you about any kids?
From the University of Michigan?
Right.
Or Michigan or Michigan State? Yeah, we've had assistants from those universities reach out to us in the past, yes.
And how impressive has the Michigan showing as far as, you know, high school players from high schools around the state of Michigan? How has the showing been at you know, from those players at your camps?
Oh, we've had some outstanding Michigan players that have come through our camps. We run a couple events up by one really near Ann Arbor in Whitmore Lake, and then another one down in the Detroit area. So we run two camps right in Michigan to try and get athletes that kind of recruiting exposure. And then every year we have several Michigan athletes that stand out at some of our top tier camps. So, and a lot of them end up going on to, you know, Michigan, Michigan State, you know, even the MAC schools like Western Michigan or Eastern Michigan, one of those type of programs as well. So, we get quite a few good athletes from the Michigan area that'll come out and compete as well. And Michigan and Michigan State's reeled in some good players in the past, obviously. So,
Yeah, definitely. David Schumann, founder of the Schumann's National Underclassmen Combines and head of the nation's Midwestern Region Ultimate 100 Camp in Fairfield, Ohio, that took place this past weekend. Now, when talking about that event, the Ultimate 100 Camp, 50% of the athletes that have gone through this event, again, as you talked about, David, have gone to play, you know, Division I or Division IAA college football. How gratifying is that? 50%? I mean, that's mind-blowing stuff, David.
Yeah, I mean, we have a ton of fantastic players that come through. Over the years, the number of, you know, if you think about it, we have probably about 2,000 kids that come through our Ultra 100 camps in a year. We end up with 1,000 kids that end up going Division I. So it's right around, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little less, but somewhere around there. Each year, it's great feeling. I mean, the fact that a lot of those kids end up going on to getting scholarships, fulfilling their dreams, and that's what it's all about. So,
now, you know, the top athletes from that camp will be invited back to the Ultimate 100 Top Prospect Evaluation and America Top Prospect Camp. How is that different from this weekend's Ultimate 100 Camp?
The Ultimate 100 Camp pulls from people all over the Midwest. Top Prospect Camp will pull from players all around the country. We invite kids from various different resources to that camp. We try to get together as many of the best players as possible at it, but they come from all over the country.
You know, what I find really cool about it, you know, reading up on the Ultimate 100 Camp is that you guys also talk to these kids and sort of mentor them about the recruiting process. And, you know, a few of those, one of those, you know, interesting topics that I read about had to do with truths and myths regarding the recruitment process. Just to kind of, you know, give a hint into what you guys tell these prospects who come through your camp, what are those truths and myths about the recruiting process that you guys try to educate them upon?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things in the recruiting process that is true, and some things that are really not very true. I mean, one of the things that parents need to understand is that, you know, just because somebody says they have experience in certain things from a recruiting process standpoint doesn't mean, or they had some that played Division I that they know, it doesn't mean that it's actually true. Everything's a different situation for their individual athletes, so that it's important that they understand the different things that take place within the recruiting process. From a truth standpoint, I mean, one of the great myths is that you can walk into, you're going to walk into a camp and you're going to walk out with a scholarship offer. I mean, that is the minority of the percentage of the athletes that go to a camp. Most of the time, it's something that really begins to jumpstart your process. Very rarely do kids walk out with an offer from a camp or get one shortly after that. What happens is it really builds their exposure over the recruiting process. And a lot of times college coaches come in, then get their film, and then go through that process and begin to offer them. But one of the biggest myth of all time, I think, is that, and you hear this all the time, is that if an athlete is good enough, they will find you. That is the biggest myth in recruiting. People say, don't go to these camps. If you're good enough, they'll find you. What makes a college coach want to come to your campus, to your high school, to look at you? He has to know something about you. Someone has had spread some information about you. And the easiest way to get information spread about you is to do well at a camp. And that's the quickest way to do it. So the fact that people say that, you know, if you're good enough, they'll find you. Well, no, there's plenty of good players that no one ever finds because they never take the steps to get their name out there. There are what I call the 1% of the 1%ers, the guys that are maybe play at the biggest high schools, you know, maybe in Michigan at the top level, that are always in the eye of the papers that get written up enough that maybe doesn't go to a camp and gets a high-level scholarship. But those guys are the 1% of the 1%. The 99.9% of those athletes have to go out and get their name out there in order to get the exposure they need in order to get recruited. So that's the biggest myth. When someone says that to me, or a coach or a parent says that to me, I just know that they're uneducated on the process. They have no idea what's going on, and they haven't taken the time to learn it. It's just a cop-out way of saying that, you know, I'm not going to go and invest in my own son from a time standpoint and do what I have to do. So that's the biggest myth. And anybody that ever says that, a coach that says that, I can't tell you how far you need to run away from those people.
Exactly. You know, I just kind of had a flashback to when I played ball in high school, and with my Pacific football program. I mean, that was really the biggest one of the biggest quarrels with our football coach, who was no longer the coach there at the high school. This was years back, but was that, you know, the coach didn't invest the time to get his players out to the certain camp so they can get that exposure. Do you think the responsibility falls more so on the coach in that regard, or the parents, or is it equal?
I think it's equal. I do think the coaches sometimes unfairly get scrutinized from a recruiting standpoint, meaning they may not be experienced in that area. They may be a good football coach, but may not be experienced in that area from a recruiting standpoint. I think it's their responsibility to educate the parents as to, hey, you've got to get resources around you to help you in the recruiting process. I'm there as a coach to help you in the recruiting process. If he's an expert in that area, great. If he's not, he's got to be able to connect them with people that can help them. And I think that's the kind of responsibility of a coach, because not everybody is an expert in that area. And that's perfectly understandable, but you have to be able to advise on resources that can best help them. And I think that is the responsibility of a coach. Because I believe that ultimately your goal as a coach should be to help put your athletes in a better position in life. Mm-hmm. Some kids come from a good situation, some kids don't. So everybody's situation is different. Your job is to help put them in a better position in life and to help them in any way that you can whether you have experience in that area or not. I think a lack of experience is not a cop-out, but you got to find out how you can get them those resources if you can't provide them yourself. And the other thing is the parent definitely has a dual responsibility to be able to do the research necessary in order to find out, you know, what has to happen in a recruiting process, seek out proper people from that standpoint, and learn as much as they possibly can about that process. And nothing's going to be perfect, but it's important to talk to coaches and guys at the college level, talk to people that might be advisors or have experience in that area, and try to kind of hone in on something that can help get you to the next level. Because it is a process. There is a lot of misinformation out there. There is a lot of different ways to skin the cat from a recruiting standpoint and still accomplish the same thing.
Right.
But you really need to know, you know, what you're trying to do. And that's important. And I think that it's really, something where if a parent is interested or athlete is interested, you have to sit down with them, figure out what their goals are, figure out if they're realistic, and figure out how you can get them on that path. And one of the things I always say is that, you know, if you're not sure if the athlete is Division I level, you start him out promoting him in that way, and you will find out very quickly as he goes through the process where he actually does belong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the mistake that some coaches do is they say, well, you know, this kid is, I've never had a kid go Division I, so, you know, he should start out the Division III process. Well, you know, there are kids that belong right away at Division III, but there are also some kids that, you know, may have potential for a high level. You start promoting them at that level, and then the college coaches are going to tell you who they're interested in as you start to go through that process. They'll tell you guys they like.
Right.
And as they go through camps and they compete in showcases, they'll realize who some of the better guys are at camps. So they'll start to feel out where they actually fit, and that kind of all puts you through that process. One of the beauties of camps like ours, besides the recruiting thing, and people get caught up in the recruiting, you also see where you are, where you might belong, and sometimes it can be a little bit sobering, but it really helps ultimately putting you in the right place of where you belong at the next level. And that really is an important process, not just on the coach side, but also on the athlete side, because ultimately you want to get education and you do want to try and get on the field. And so if you go to a place where you're never going to get on the field, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You'll be unhappy.
Right, right.
You want to find the right fit for you.
Yeah, reality will certainly reveal itself. And you talk about, you know, how, you know, during the duration of these camps, you find out where exactly your talent level is, if you are a Division I, II, or III prospect, and so on and so forth. For you, David, and your staff, I mean, how do you determine star ratings?
Well, we don't really do star ratings. I know a lot of recruiting services do that. We do state rankings, and we do regional and national rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Of the players, but we really don't do star ratings. And one of the reasons that we don't, quote unquote, even though we have a camp that's called the 5-star camp, but we really don't do star ratings. One of the reasons we don't do that is because, it's one of those things that you say, the majority of the guys that were drafted in the NFL were 3 stars in high school.
Right.
Okay. So if the majority of athletes that are drafting the NFL are 3 stars in high school, does it really make sense that, those guys are getting 3 stars and of the 5 stars, 50% of them don't even end up going on to the NFL? You know, another 50% of those guys do well in college and maybe a small percentage of going to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it shows that star ratings really ultimately don't dictate the success of the athlete. I do think what is important is saying, hey, I think this group right here are the better guys. These guys are top-tier level guys. These 100 guys are top-tier level guys. These next 200 guys are the next tier level, as we see it right now from a college potential standpoint. But it doesn't ultimately, 5-star, 4-star, 3-star are meant to dictate, you know, whether a guy's an NFL player or not, and it's obviously proven to not be true. So that's one of the reasons why we kind of stick to like state rankings and like these are the guys that we, you know, we think are the best players in the state, so on and so forth. But not necessarily tagging stars to them. So
that's a really interesting insight. David Schumann, founder of Schumann's National Underclassmen Combines and head of the nation's Midwestern Region Ultimate 100 Camp in Ohio that just took place this past weekend. David, before I get you out of here, I want to really briefly get your thoughts on a topic that we've had on this show before, and it definitely centers around the recruiting process. And, you know, I've asked certain guests, you know, former MSU football players and current coaches about this whole thing and just the recruiting process in general. I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes the world of recruiting is, in my opinion, it sometimes just rubs me the wrong way because I see certain instances like, you know, a Malik McDowell, who was a Southfield High School great, great prospect who now will be taking his talents to Michigan State. But you saw the story where his mom didn't want to sign the paper because she didn't want her son going there. And then, you have other examples of kids, you know, making a decision because, oh, this university may have a better facility and so on and so forth. And you see these upgrades happening because of recruits and to try to attract recruits to a certain college or university. With all of that coming to the forefront of this discussion, do you think, in your opinion, David, do you think the recruiting process, in a way, is getting out of hand, so to speak?
No, I think it is. You have more media than ever that's covering it. Mm-hmm. I think that creates more of a situation than you would ever have before. With Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm on all of them because just to keep up.
Right.
You know.
You have to be.
Obviously. Yeah, it's just there's so much of it all the time being reported on that never before those mediums kind of lent itself to the fast pace of recruiting. This kid commits here, this kid decommits here, or, you know, this kid got in trouble, this kid's a great kid.
Yeah.
So it kind of lends itself to that process, that quick reporting process, and not really kind of investigative reporting. But the recruiting process really lends itself to that because you have so many kids committing and decommitting, and it gives you a constant flow of content. So I think it really gives the impression that all this stuff is going on all the time, like it's crazy. And, you know, having been involved in it all these years, and as I'm a high school coach myself,
right?
And I can tell you that it's public perception is that there's so much more going on than actually really is. Now, is there stuff with the 1% of the 1%? You know, maybe the quote-unquote top 30 or 40 players in the country. Is there a lot of activity around those guys? I wouldn't know 100% on that, but I'm sure from a coverage standpoint, those guys are getting covered more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the issue might lie in the fact that the guys that are deemed to be the top guys get so much more press than the other 2,000 who are also Division I players. You might have two kids going to Michigan and one of them's getting a ton of press, another one's not. The one who's getting a ton of press gets so much more attention that, you know, as adults we say, wow, is that kid getting too much attention for someone who hasn't accomplished, quote unquote, anything really yet?
Right, right.
And that's where people feel that it kind of gets at it. And I think because of the mediums and because you can use things like Twitter and get all kinds of information that can go viral very, very quickly, I think it really gives the impression of that. But kind of being an insider, things get reported on, but I don't see it moving as fast as the outside world thinks it actually moves.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, that's a hands-on aspect right there from David Schumann, founder of Schumann's National Underclassmen Combines and head of the nation's Midwestern Region Ultimate 100 Camp in Ohio. Hey, David, thanks so much for taking your time out your day and joining me on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, David. All right. Well, let's hit our break. When we come back, we got Tigers to talk about. Maryland and Rutgers joined the Big Ten. Top 5 Tuesday and so much more. We'll try to cram it in 15 minutes. Let's try to do it. All right. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, now joined by the illustrious fellas of Matt Lutke and Alex Shark. How you guys doing? Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Al. I'm pumped for 4 o'clock.
Yes,
can't
I
get
am
here
too.
Soon enough.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
I'm
are you still going to be
though.
Here at the office watching it, or are you going to be home? Or
That is going to be a game time decision,
yeah,
I think. I think that's going to be a game
too,
time decision.
I got so much to do. I'm like, should I leave the office and work from home, or should I stay in the office? I don't know, man.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one, man. That's up in the air, too. But, man, oh, man, we'll dive into that in just a sec. But we got some things to talk about here as, 15 minutes left in the show. How about Rajay Davis last night? I mean, unbelievable walk-off home run for the Tigers as they
walk off grand slam.
Crazy grand slam, bases loaded, dude. I could not believe it when it happened. I mean I turned to the game for a moment. I missed it live, and I turned to it when I was on Twitter. I happened to be on Twitter and saw the aftermath of him rounding third and the kid plugging up his ears. I mean, it was a great moment down at Comerica Park. But you know what really was fascinating was the moments leading up to that moment for Rajai Davis. I mean, facing, Sean Doolittle, you had Nick Castellanos and Alex Avila. They singled to open the inning. Then after Suarez, he struck out on 3 pitches. And the guy that we talked about yesterday, will he get out of a slump? This was really Austin Jackson working the count. And he was very, very clever on how he did it. I believe it was a 9-pitch draw, which drew a walk for him. He was masterful in reading each pitch and really reading that moment to load the bases. And then you had Rajai Davis, just, my goodness, unbelievable moment.
Yeah, if there's such a thing as like a game-saving walk.
Right, it was Austin Jackson.
That's it. And, yep. And even though it's not, a huge, double to left or something that drove in a couple runs, that's something you can build off of, because that changed the game. That obviously put him in a position to win in super dramatic fashion.
Yep.
It's eerie, though, how every time the Tigers celebrate the 1984 team,
I was just about to say that,
they win in a walk-off.
Crazy,
how weird
right?
is that?
That is eerie, dude. That is craziness.
I mean,
and
put your money down for 2024.
Right.
Tigers walk-off win.
They
That's
should
crazy.
Honor that team every game.
Seriously.
Right? Every single game, they should give some reference to the 1984 Bless Whew. You Boys, because it turns out to be a fantastic outing for the Tigers each and every time. And you know what? Anibal Sanchez, it wasn't his sharpest outing. I mean, he threw 7 strong innings. He allowed 3 runs, 2 earned on 8 hits, walked none, and struck out 2. He also had to shout him out because he picked up his 1,000th career strikeout in the 4th inning. So, they asked to him after the game if he knew that, he had picked up his 1,000th career strikeout. He said, yeah, that's what they told me. That's all. I mean, that was the extent of his elation on that moment. But, and you know what? After Sanchez departed, though, Jabba Chamberlain, he allowed a walk, 2 singles, 2 runs. With the game nearly out of reach, Phil Koch comes in and gives you a Coke and a smile, if you will. He was summoned and recorded 2 groundouts on a double play to escape further damage. And for the exceptional A's bullpen, which was working on a 2 1/2 innings of hitless baseball, I think it was Dan Artero and Luke Gregerson, they bridged the gap from Scott Kazmir to Doolittle, and then Doolittle, you saw what Doolittle did. I mean, it was just complete catastrophe for him, and you had the walk-off win. So, but hey, how about Phil Koch, though? That was
just when you leave him for dead.
Exactly. It's when you leave him for dead, he comes out and, puts some doubt in your mind. I don't know, because, if you're looking at Jabba Chamberlain, though, I'm glad that they sat him down, because I thought it was going to be, I mean, it could have been worse. You know what I mean? If they left
it could have been worse.
Game.
Some nights you just don't have it.
Exactly.
And it seems like the Tigers bullpen is going through that a lot. But as long as they can kind of avoid leaving a guy like that out there too long, they'll be okay. And obviously, they win in dramatic fashion last night. Hopefully they can keep it going. This is a key series against the A's, and that was a big win. And hopefully it's a momentum builder more than anything.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, game 2 tonight. between the Tigers and Oakland A's. All right, and how about Maryland and Rutgers? They officially, today, have become official members of the Big Ten Conference, increasing the Big Ten's membership to 14 institutions. Final thoughts on this one, Matt, because I know we've talked about, I think we've kind of beaten this horse to death, but now with it officially becoming official, it's officially official, now that these two teams have joined the conference, what are your thoughts on it, man? What do you think is going to be a good outcome?
I guess. I mean, I see what they're going for with the TV expansion and, mm-hmm. and that kind of market.
It's political. It's a political move.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, they do kind of uncover a more fertile recruiting ground.
Right.
In the, you know, the Maryland region. So at least they're kind of opening up new doors. Do I like it from a scheduling standpoint? No. Does it move the needle much in terms of the two schools that are joining in Maryland and Rutgers? No, not really. A little ho-hum. It's just
kind
okay.
Kind of.
I was much more excited for Nebraska to join the Big Ten than I am for these two. But
right,
could be great going forward. Who knows?
Alex,
I won't judge.
Yeah. Alex.
Yeah, you're right. We have beat this to a T, but one thing to add is Big Ten lacrosse just came out today as well, and they're adding not only Penn State, but they're adding John Hopkins.
Yeah, I saw that.
Powerhouse.
As well.
Yep, I saw that
so,
too.
So, you know, it's not just a typical number of students or revenue. I mean, I think they're trying to be as fair as possible because John Hopkins, you're not getting 30, 40,000 students at that school. So they're looking at some other factors, giving them a little bit of credit. This isn't strictly a revenue thing here. I think they're just looking to get some better competition, maybe trying to outdo the SEC in some sports, get better at that Director's Cup, as we just saw. So
yeah, I would say if I had to put a – I love numbers. If I had to put a percentage on it, this was 98.8 or 9 about revenue, period. I mean, because if you look at it, in April, the Big Ten, they announced they would be opening a second office in New York City while securing access to satellite office space in Washington, D.C. And in May, if you remember – the Big Ten confirmed that the network had reached deals with, we talked about these TV deals, with Time Warner Cable and Cablevision for broad distribution to their subscribers in the New York City, New Jersey television markets. And in June, the Big Ten confirmed that a similar agreement was reached with Comcast for broad distribution in Maryland and New Jersey, which, to eclipsate all of what I just said, it's all about the moolah here, period. Point blank, period. It's going to be interesting to see how the revenue changes with these two now involved in the Big Ten.
But, Al, what about a school like John Hopkins? That's strictly revenue.
Yeah, but that's lacrosse. You know, I mean, looking at...
lacrosse is one of the fastest growing sports.
But when you talk about the big money college football here, this is about.
If it's about football, yeah. But what I'm saying is, look what the Big Ten did there with lacrosse. It was a very strategic move. Because now you can't strictly say it's all about revenue.
They did that, so that's the only reason they made that move. That's
and
the
I,
only reason
I agree
reason
with
they made
you, but I'm saying is I wouldn't call it 98% revenue. Now it's probably down to 70,
they did that so
60.
Guys like me wouldn't come on the radio show or write a column about how this was all revenue-based. It was all revenue-based. They just probably threw that added incentive in to make it seem like it wasn't all revenue-based. That's my thoughts on it.
Matt?
You know what? I honestly... I could care less.
Yeah, I could
care.
Too. I mean,
it's going to happen. I don't know if we'll even, I don't know, I don't think I'll ever see a Johns Hopkins lacrosse matchup against a Big Ten school.
And that's a hate on lacrosse.
Not at all. It's a great sport and it's entertaining. Yeah. I mean, when it's on,
I don't
you know,
watch
the finals near what, Memorial Day.
You watch
it's exciting.
I don't even watch
it. But, you know, there's only a few games televised a year. It's not a huge revenue sport. Maybe that'll change with the Big Ten Network. Maybe they'll start airing lacrosse matchups. I don't know. Johns Hopkins, as far as athletics, it doesn't make me excited or depressed or anything.
Yeah, it does nothing for me. So, all right, interesting stuff. You guys want to give your comments on this, facebook.com/currentsports, and also my Twitter page at AlMartinWKR. Well, guys, 5 minutes left in the show. I want to get to our top five Tuesday segment for today. You know, it got me thinking after watching that Rajai Davis smack to left field and watching the crowd erupt and seeing everybody go crazy at home plate and to see the kid plugging his ears. You know, it got me thinking, guys, just exactly what's the top way? And I know this is totally opinion-based because everybody has their different views on this subject, but what's the top way, in your opinion, that what's the top way to end a game? You know, is it a half-court buzzer beater? Is it a Hail Mary through the air? Is it a, you know, walk-off grand slam? What's your list look like, man? I mean, I'm curious to know what your number one is.
Well,
too.
Now, it's tough. Is this me specifically, or is this my team? Like, let's say I'm an athlete. Am I the one catching the Hail Mary?
Man, that's a good question, too.
Or am I on the sidelines?
Did you do a list for both?
No, but I can tinker around with it depending on what you say.
Give me a mix.
A mix? Okay. I think...
Yeah. Go ahead. No, if you're a fan. Let's go fan. Let's go fan base. We'll go to player tomorrow. I think it's interesting.
If I'm a fan, number five, I'm going to go in racing a last lap pass.
Really?
You know, coming through turn four.
I could see
that. Or something. You make a pass to win the race. You know,
how about horse racing?
Horse racing, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either way. You know, in the last turn, on that last straightaway, you make the pass. That's exciting.
It is.
That is good stuff. Number four... I'm going to put an overtime goal in hockey just because it's sudden death. Game is over. You win. Skate off the ice. Celebrate.
What about soccer?
Whatever.
What about an overtime goal in soccer?
Well, that's a little different because they'll play out the time.
They will play it
you
out.
You know, it's not sudden death.
If it was sudden death, though, it probably...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Equal.
Sudden death something.
Sudden death is definitely better than, well, we're up. Let's hold the lead.
I know number one has to be for you, the penalty kicks, Matt.
Yeah, there you go.
Number one.
Might as well be a free throw shooting contest. All right, number
three,
I'm going to go with a walk-off. It is very exciting. And, you know, again, you get to run the bases. The whole team comes out to mob you at home plate. It's awesome. Number two, a buzzer-beating three-pointer. Or I guess just any sort of buzzer-beater. Very exciting.
What if it's a layup, though?
Doesn't matter. LeBron hit that layup?
Still
exciting.
Yeah. It is.
Even though it's more, what was the defense doing there?
Right.
What a great shot. And then number one, it's got to be a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
It's just so, because up to a Hail Mary, I mean, the odds of actually making it happen are not great.
Right,
but when it
right.
does happen, it's usually crazy or, you know, somebody really screws up or somebody makes an incredible catch or the throw is incredible. It's just so many things have to go right for a Hail Mary to actually work out. That's got to be my number one.
I agree. Number one for me was the Hail Mary as well. I mean, I always go back to that moment, you know, to kind of keeping it localized. Was it MSU versus, was it Wisconsin?
Oh, it was Wisconsin.
And the Hail Mary, and all of a sudden the ball ends up in the hands of,
Keith Nickel. Former
right at the
quarterback.
Goal line.
Did you know that? He was a former quarterback?
I did not know. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, that moment, I remember, you know, it's a funny story behind that one. I was actually walking on campus when that moment happened, because was that homecoming?
It was.
It was homecoming. I was walking back, you know, on campus, you know, back to my frat brother's dorm room, and I didn't get a chance to see the moment live, but I'm walking near Spartan Stadium, right, and me and a few of my buddies, and we're keeping up the game on our phones, right, but the moment wasn't live on our phones. We had a little lag to it. All of a sudden, we hear the biggest eruption I've ever heard from Spartan Stadium. And we're like, oh my gosh, something big just happened. And we look on the phone and boom, you know, the Hail Mary. For me, number one had to be the Hail Mary. We only got one minute left. For number one for you, man, Alex, is it a Hail Mary?
Honestly, I think my number one is racing around that last turn.
Is it?
I think I get more excited when I'm watching a horse race or a race. How about Olympic races? I get more excited from that last turn than almost anything.
Going back to Michael Phelps. Remember the with the point?
Yeah, Michael Phelps' last lap.
0.5 tenths of a second. Yeah.
That's the best. I think that's the best. I really do.
All right, I'll give you my full list tomorrow, guys. You only have 30 seconds left on the show. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing. Thanks to Dave Schumann for joining me on today's show. Take care. Have a fantastic Tuesday. And as always, be easy, people.